Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200.
Confer watches the Pens come back in. Crosby dangles around Gerard. Backhand shot. He scores! Oh, mile high magic from the captain. A dart on the backhand over the right shoulder of Georgiev.
Right wing to Valimaki. Through to Boyd. He gave it away to Draisaitl. Breakaway pass to McDavid. Here's McDavid! Off the post! And it comes over to the boards. And Boyd gets dumped down. McDavid again got it from Draisaitl. Scott!
Well, Leon Draisaitl, a four-assist performance. He gets to 110 points, and Connor McDavid gets to 60 goals on the season.
See you back to the NCAA tournament. They missed out last year for the first time since 2007 as Judd Caulfield comes in. The follow-up is buried by Tyler Cleven, and it's 2-0 North Dakota.
Boy, big hit. I think that was Cleven.
Tyler Cleven at the blue line.
In the back of the nets!
Oh. Big hit by Tyler Cleven.
Here's a member of Alaska Fairbanks as Cleven hits the post and finds the back of the net. What a night for the No Deck Sens. It's 2-1 North Dakota midway through the second.
Now with Steve Lloyd.
He's a few McNulty.
Here's Steve Lloyd.
This shit like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. get your uncle out of here. Get him out. You go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Come on.
Arruge Pantera. Arruge Pantera.
All right. Now we're ready. Now we're ready. Final hour of the show. Just getting started here. Got a little more giving to get to. We got a code word for you this hour. And I have not given away the four-pack of tickets to the home finale against the Carolina Hurricanes coming up on April the 10th. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. We've got a game tonight live at Canadian Tire Center. In the Box continues. Tampa Bay Lightning in town to take on the Sens. We'll touch on that and a whole lot more with our next guest. It's our Sens and NHL insider, the voice of the Sens here on TSN 1200. It's Dean Brown. Good afternoon, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing well, boys.
So Tyler Cleven's going to join the team tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the 10-game winning streak will start Saturday then with the Cleven effect. And playoffs, baby. Let's go, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, we'll see. It's always fun to see where guys are when they get here. And I know Pierre Dorion this morning said that there was no promise to Cleven that he will get to play NHL games. Many guys, as we all know, many guys have signed and come out of college. And one of the motivators has always been getting to play NHL games. But as Pierre noted this morning, it's different now. You know, this team is still in a fight for a playoff spot, no matter how long those odds are. They are still in a fight, whereas in past years when guys have been signed, Ottawa wasn't fighting for anything. So it'll be interesting to see where he is. But, you know, you look at a guy like Cleven, and I think he's a player with great promise and, you know, a big, tough, strong defenseman. But we'll have to see because there's been many, big, tough defensemen come out of college hockey that they can never transfer those skills. So you have to wait and find out if they can. You know, as Mike Tyson, down in college, they're wearing the full face shields. And if you hit somebody hard, what really happens? Well, you know, if he's going to play in Ottawa or play in Belleville, it's half shields now. And if you hit somebody really hard, somebody's going to try and punch in the mouth. So as Mike Tyson always used to say, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And all that said, I think we have to wait and see how he develops and how ready he is and what the transition is like to the NHL. But when you just kind of look at the player and you hear scouting reports on him, does it get you excited to have a guy like that inserted into the blue line that could possibly provide a little bit of skill to everyone that's talked about him has mentioned his skill, but be nasty and physical and just that, as Lloydie compared to earlier, maybe an Arber Jacki kind of comparison on the back end.
Yeah, there's not nearly as many of those kinds of players in the league as there used to be, and that makes the ones that are good players that are in the league very valuable. And I know there's a constituency that says, well, you know, like low-skilled big guys that are just out there to be physical, come on, let's move along with that. Well, the reality is that that's still an important part of the game, and most good teams have that. You know, most good teams have a player that can provide that, whether it's a defenseman or a forward. But, you know, ideally most coaches would like to have at least one forward that can add that to the mix, and at least one defenseman that can add that to the mix. And, you know, you look at, you know, Tampa's in town. You know, one of the reasons they went out and got Zach Bogosian, they don't play him every night, but, you know, he's a guy that can play, and I'm not talking about just fighting, but I'm talking about who can go out there and play a really physical game and punish people in his own end. And, you know, and they've got a couple of guys up front in Maroon and now Janot. And, you know, that's a team that's, by anyone's estimation, a high-skill team and gets to the Stanley Cup final, and they're one of the highest penalty minute teams in the league. You know, everybody always talks about the fact that, well, there's fewer penalties and fewer fights in the playoffs. Not with Tampa. You look at their numbers over the last 5 years, on a per-game percentage, their numbers are higher in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. So that, whether people like it or not, that is still a role in this league that is becoming more and more difficult to play because fewer players are willing to play it. And fewer players, let's face it, in today's game, have the skill set to be that big yet still be able to play at NHL tempo. So it's becoming a far harder role to fill. And I'm sure the Senators would love for Tyler Cleven to become that. Because Pierre Dorion was right this morning. Right now, in this organization, they don't have a player like that. So if he can become what people think he could become, that down the road could be a very big advantage for Ottawa. Even if it doesn't generate points and assists and offense, still it's a role on a team that is very, very important still in today's game.
There's not many players, just to kind of pick up on what you just said there, Dean, there's not many guys, because you said, you know, big and low skill. Well, if you're going to be big and you're going to play every night. I'm not talking about Zach Bogosian, who's, you know, he's had some tough injuries along the way. He's grinded out a nice veteran career now, but he doesn't play every night.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you're going to be that kind of guy that does play every night, the you got to have some skill. That the game's evolved.
Yep.
And I don't know if it translates to the NHL. We don't know. We're just guessing because sometimes things just don't work out. It happens.
Yeah, for sure.
But with Tyler Cleven, at his previous level, he's not devoid of skill. Like he can move the puck. He's got a bomb of a shot. You know, he played on two World Junior teams for Team USA. Plugs don't play there at that level in that tournament. So I think it's because we put the emphasis on the nasty because this blue line could use some of that. What he brings, absolutely. But it's not like he's devoid of skill. He's not a guy that's just big. And he can be a little bit mean. The expectation is that he's going to play every night. And I don't think you're even talking about it in this vein if you think that he's just a guy that's big and mean. And it's like, yeah. Oh, hopefully he can play every night. That's not the expectation of this prospect.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, around the league, Lord, you made a very good point that around the league now, with the game the way it is, there are no more one-dimensional players like that anymore. The roster, you just can't afford it. But when, you know, when you talk about the impact that he has offensively, you know, we don't know if, you know, what he was able to generate in college wasn't huge, but still involved and scored some big goals and, you know, was part of it. But the other thing you don't know is he could still be capable of that at the NHL level, but he may be put into a role where he doesn't get up the ice very much. He's that last man. You're like, that's the other thing. There's players who are capable of more, but sometimes their coaches need them to play a different kind of role, and that inhibits their ability. So you can't assume that ability at the NHL level is not there just because he might not generate very much in the early part of his pro career. It might have a lot to do with the role that he's given within his team, which a lot of times is to always be the last man back, to get the puck to the better puck possession defenseman that he might be playing with. There's a whole bunch of reasons why, you know, his offense or the quote-unquote skill part of his game, you know, might suffer early in his pro career. And a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with him not having enough skill, you know, and that's a part of it. I think that sometimes people don't look at it. They go, oh, just look, well, look at his points. And he just can't, he's just not an offense. He just can't. Well, take a look also at the role that he's been given on his team, because sometimes that has a major impact.
Just staying with the blue line, DJ told the media today that you can expect a lot of Shabbat and Chychrun together. What are you anticipating from that pair and the rest of them?
I don't know, you know, because we don't have a real sample size with that particular pair. I think it's going to be Creature all, you know, down the stretch here. I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of different kind of combinations. We already have. And I think, you know, this is really the testing zone to try and figure out what the best thing is going to be, or at least things that if you try different things you can go back to. One of the things that I've really noticed in the last couple of games, I've really thought that, and I got to be honest, really surprised me. I really thought that Shabbat and Brännström have become a really good pair, that they've really complemented each other, and they've been far better together than I thought they would be. So, you know, I think that's probably something that the coach now can go back to because he's seen it in pressure situations against really good teams, and there was nothing wrong with it. It worked out well. So I think that sometimes, you know, it's just another card in the deck for the coach where he might do this and he might do that, but he knows he can go back to certain things. You know, he knows he can always go back to Shabbat and Zub. He knows he can, well, now he's got one more thing with Shabbat and Brännström he can go back to. And if this Chychrun-Shabbat thing really works out, there's another one where you go, I know what that pair's capable of. Or if it doesn't work out, you know that too. But I really think that it seems on the surface to be the kind of thing that could really work well. I'll be interested to see if that translates into power play time as a pair, because usually when Shabbat is on the power play, he's the lone guy at the top. And when they've used Chychrun on the power play, it's been him and Sanderson when they go with 2D. Well, one of the benefits of having Chychrun out there playing the right side, especially if it's on the power play, is that stick is in the middle of the ice. Because so few defensemen now can get the big hammer away because it takes so long to wind it up. He is one of the guys in the league who can get it away. Well, Shabbat is the perfect kind of guy to get him the puck to do that. So I'll be interested over time, and maybe not tonight, but over time, if they do play together 5-on-5, if that carries over into play-by-play and they modify the power play, if they modify that a bit and go with two men at the top, which they haven't really done with Shabbat, to try and take advantage of that shot that Chychrun has. So those are things that, you know, I kind of look at and I say, well, I wonder if that's going to happen. And then, you know, you're interested to see how it works out when or if it happens.
We've seen a little bit of that, and we see some variations of the forwards there, because what's become clear, Sanderson's PP1, and they're still going with four forwards. So, mm-hmm. You know, we'll see if, like, how that settles in, staying with the blue line, like Creature just said here. Yeah. In your opinion, and we don't know, because I think we're going to have to wait till the end of training camp next season, let's be honest, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Who do you think becomes kind of the full-time, I'm a lefty and I'm playing the right side? Is it Sanderson? Is it Chychrun? Right? Is it Shabbat? Of those three, who in your top four, who do you think settles in as, all right, I'm playing the right side?
Yeah. If I were a betting man, Lloydie, I would bet it's going to be Chychrun because he's done it a lot. And like I said, I think the team, if one guy has to go over there, well, somebody's going to have to go over there. That's not even a question. Somebody's going to have to go over there. You do get that side benefit of, yeah, you know, he's got to play pucks on his backhand, and that's, you know, he's got to come off the pivot, and that's going to be difficult for any of them. It always is. It's an adjustment thing, and guys, good players will get used to it, and he's a good player. But I think it gives you that more appetizing stick in the middle of the ice. Brännström has the same thing, you know, being a left shot, having the stick in the middle of the ice. But let's face it, there's a huge difference between Brännström's shot and Chychrun's shot. So I think if I were a betting man, if there's going to be one guy that is consistently next year asked to play that right side, I would bet that it might well be Chychrun.
Dino, who do you think we're going to see tend the twine for the Sens tonight?
I think if I were guessing, I would say Sogard. And, you know, the coach didn't say today, but he spent a lot of time in the starter's end, which sometimes tells you everything you need to know. Sometimes it means nothing, but I think I wouldn't doubt that it's Sogard again. He was very, very good in Boston. Didn't get the win, but he was very good. And I think with Ferguson, you want to make sure that he's back to 100%. I understand he got very dehydrated after the game, and they had to re-up the fluids. He was ill. You know, he was his body was you know, that was a long night. And so I think you want to get him up to speed. You get a chance tomorrow to get him into a practice. And, you know, then you can reinsert him back into the lineup and hope he can bring that magic back that he got in his first game. But this is only a guess, but if I'm guessing, I think it's probably going to be Sogard tonight.
Nick Paul's going to play in this building for the first time as a member of the opposition. Dean, I think we're all expecting a pretty warm reception, as he was quite a popular player when he was here. What do you expect?
Oh, I do too, Lloydie. And why wouldn't the fans, you know, give him a warm reception? He played hard while he was here, did everything, played in a million different roles, and loved it here. And, you know, in hockey, people move. That's a part of it. You know, that happens in every city. And he was moved along, and he's very happy by all accounts where he is now in Tampa. And so that's great for him. Gets a gets a chance to go play on a team that's going to the playoffs almost every year, and so that's great for him. But I can't see anybody having anything but warm feelings about Nick Paul coming back. He was a great guy in the community, great guy on the team, played hard for this team. And, you know, he was one of those guys that you always cheered for because, you know, he rattled around and just could never get a solid spot and kind of made some changes himself to himself. And we all chronicled that story about, you know, him kind of going through a personal self-awakening and getting a different perspective on hockey and in life. And that kind of bumped his career up to where it is now. So I think it's a good story. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Nick Paul. And I can't imagine that that anybody tonight is not going to do anything but stand up and clap for him.
Over the course of the last couple of weeks, the Sens have really faced a number of teams that have legitimate superstars throughout the lineup. They'll get that again tonight with multiple, including Point and Kucherov, among others. How have you liked the way some of the young stars have performed in those games, like a Stützle and a Sanderson and among others?
Well, you know what, Creature? I was, we'll talk about Stützle, especially he's still been able to produce points playing against some of the best players and best teams in the world, number one. But number two, I think for me in that Boston game, the one thing that I really thought, you know, like he's taken a major maturity step and for me just watching him play in that Boston game, because he didn't get much going as far as offense goes, but he didn't take any penalties. And the reason I say that is, you know, Boston's not stupid. They're the best team in the league. You don't get to do anything for free when you play against them. They had sticks on him. They were hooking and holding him and whacking him and, you know, preemptive hitting. He's going to get the puck, so they hit him before he gets the puck. It's supposed to be interference, but it's the NHL. There, you know, if there's 100 fouls, the referees call 5. You know, so, and I think in years past, he would have gotten frustrated and mad and slashed a couple of guys and, you know, cross-checked a couple of guys just because he's mad, which, hey, I get it, you know, and as a young player. But he knew in the one-goal game you can't take dumb penalties. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for players, like in his situation that garner a lot of attention because they're great players, that he understood that on that night his job is not only to do his best to try and generate offense, but his job is to contain his own personal feelings and not hurt his team by taking dumb penalties because he's angry. And he did that. And I know that's a small thing, but I look at that as a big step forward for a young player like Tim Stützle, because he took a lot of abuse that night. Every good player in the league takes a lot of abuse, you know, when they're playing a team like the Boston Bruins. That's how they play. That's how really good teams play. They make the best players have bad nights. That's why they're good. But he did it and just put his chin down and kept trying to generate things, put his chin down, kept rushing the puck, put his chin down and didn't do anything dumb or selfish, stupid or like a kid. And I don't think he's gotten enough credit for that.
Tampa's in town, and this means a lot for the Lightning. They're 3 points back of the Leafs, and the Leafs got two in hand here for the first round matchup. As we kind of project out, they're going to play each other in the first round. It's Leafs, yeah. Lightning. We know that. How much value do you put on getting that home ice to get that last change in that extra game?
Well, they'd prefer it. You know, they'd prefer it. But I you kind of just get the feeling, Lloyd, when you're kind of around these guys, and it's not so much being around the players. You know, we spend a lot of time around their broadcasters, the guys who do the jobs that we do in Tampa, and they spend a lot of time around the guys. So you kind of use them as the barometer. You know, what's the sense they're getting from the guys they're around every day? And anybody would want to have that home ice advantage if you can get it. But it's not like anybody's going to be crushed if you don't, because if you look at the last 3 years for this team and look at all the things it's achieved in the last three seasons, having home ice advantage is good, but it's not like it breaks their back if they don't have it. So, you know, I don't think they look at it as a failure if they can't clinch home ice advantage down the stretch here. It's just they're going to play Toronto. They're getting ready to play Toronto. They're thinking about Toronto, and they're going to be ready for Toronto. And home ice would be nice, but I don't get the sense, Lloydy, that they're going to be crushed if they don't get home ice advantage. It's not going to be something that they've lost if they don't get it.
Who do you like in that series?
You know what? This year, I would have to say I like Toronto, just because look at what Tampa has and all the weapons they still have. But for me, and I've said this a couple of times now, Creature, the path and the tempo of the lead dog is the path and the tempo of the pack. And I look at Toronto and people say, well, how much has changed? Their goaltending is still a question mark. And is their defense really good enough to win a cup? I don't know what the answer is to either of those. Then the defense might not be good enough to win a cup, but it might be good enough to win a round. But for me, I look at how Austin Matthews has changed his game. And I don't think it's a small thing that he has given up his own personal points at times, because his point totals this year are going to be nothing like what they have been or what he's capable of. But he leads all forwards in the NHL in block shots. And I know that's just one stat, and it's not a big deal, but it's a stat that shows a commitment to something that he hasn't had before, and that is to give up his own body or a scoring chance to stop a chance going the other way. And I think that that is a major philosophical change for Toronto's best player. And that kind of thing trickles down through the rest of your team. So I think this is the year that Toronto gets out of the first round, kind of the same way that, you know, when Washington won the Stanley Cup, a big reason for that is Ovechkin finally played for his team rather than for himself. And I look at Matthews this year, and he's, you know, there's more than one guy on the team, but the message that sends to everybody else, I think, is a hugely important one. So I think when I get to filling up my bracket for the Stanley Cup playoffs, we know they're going to play, and it goes against everything I've said to myself in the last couple of years, but I'm picking Toronto in the first round over Tampa.
So many storylines on and off the ice with the Sens right now. We know the commissioner's coming on Monday. He's going to meet with the mayor, who was on the station earlier today. Bill Daly is going to be here. All the groups are going to be coming in the next week or two. We're getting closer, Dean, to getting some more answers to the future of this team, who's going to own it, and where the arena site will be here. With the talk of it maybe won't be on NCC land at LeBreton Flats for the potential new rink. Creature and I kind of have the same read. I want to get your opinion here. Mm-hmm. I think of course you're going to say, you know, why would you corner yourself into one thing right now? You're not even at the finish line. But I'd be shocked if it's not going to be at LeBreton. What's your take?
I think it's healthy to talk about all the options. But I think it doesn't take you very long to boil down why some of them wouldn't end up being great options. I think the original plan to have the building based down at LeBreton Flats is probably still the most sound one. And I heard what Mayor Sutcliffe said, and, you know, like, it isn't exactly right downtown. No, it's not. And you can't walk in January from Elgin Street. No, you can't. But any of the other options, you can't either. So, you know, there's so many things you can cross off. And I think it's good to have an open mind. I think the least of the attractive options is redoing this building out here in the West, because I think one of the things that people don't understand about what kind of money and what you'd have to do to refurbish the current building is that you basically, the biggest expense would be building a new infrastructure. It's not just, you know, putting in fresher seats or putting on a coat of paint. This building, to be a building for the next 30 years, has to be able to, for example, hang shows at their current size. I don't think people realize that, you know, the girder system within any building is what determines how big a show you can get in the building. So, for example, I think the last time that Cirque du Soleil was here, for example, they could only put up 2/3 of the show because the building didn't have the ability to carry the weight, the full weight of their sets and their backdrops. And that the big shows are becoming bigger and bigger. And so, you know, if you were renovating, the current Canadian Tire Center, you would have to basically, what I've been told is, you'd have to rebuild a bigger and stronger frame inside the current building. In other words, it would almost be easier to tear down the building and rebuild it again. But so when people just say, well, or they could refurbish it. Well, hold on. Don't just flip it out there. The refurbishing of the other one, it would not only be unbelievably expensive, but unbelievably involved in changing, you know, basically the entire skeleton of the building to get it up to what will be the new reality in entertainment, not just hockey. Because you got to remember, this is for concerts and everything. You have to be able to, you know, to have the big show stop in Ottawa, they have to be able to hang their entire show, or they're just not going to stop. And so I think the least likely is refurbishing the building where it is. And I think the most likely is having a new building on LeBreton Flats. And I think it's healthy to talk about other options. But at the end of the day, I think there's going to be a new owner, and there'll be a new building at LeBreton Flats. And that will be good for everybody, good for the city, good for our community, good for the team, good for taxpayers, and life will go on.
All right. We'll leave it there. And like I said, I don't think any of us believe we're that far away from getting some more for answers on ownership, rank. We're weeks, months away here. Probably maybe weeks. We'll see. We'll see, Dean. First things first, we got a game tonight, and you and Gord will have the call. 5 o'clock for your pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off. Thank you, Dean. Have a great call tonight.
All right, boys. Talk to you next week.
There's Dean Brown joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, 5 o'clock for the pre, 7 o'clock face-off. Sens and Lightning tonight on TSN 1200. We'll take a break. We inch our way towards 2 o'clock, and we hand it off to... Oh, AJ's gone. He's on sabbatical again, folks. From the bullpen, veteran
righty. All
right,
I've had enough. I've had enough of this guy.
CJ, Chris Stevenson coming in. He'll be co-hosting In the Box tomorrow. And Lee and Maddie, that's a three-hour additional drive. Oh, yeah. Coming up at 2, and then the pregame show at 5, drop of the puck at 7 tonight. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Welcome to your life. Okay, Creature, I got to play catch up here. Let's do this. Text contest. Got a 4-pack of tickets for the home finale, April 10th against the Carolina Hurricanes here at Canadian Tire Center. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. But here's a little trivia for you. And I've been trying to tie it in with, Carolina / Hartford. And my question today, I get a chance to tie it in with Tampa as well. Okay? It's a just one-player answer. I had a two-player answer for everybody yesterday, but only one player is the correct answer to this question. And it involves the Lightning, the Senators, and the Hurricanes. Here it is. To 12-1200, where your standard text message rates apply. And Kenny's not here, but the Kenny rule still exists because it makes it a lot easier for the producer. We need your first and last name and your proper email address you want us to use. That's got to be a part of your text as well, along with the correct answer to qualify. And we'll give everybody a chance. I'll put a timestamp on this at the end of asking the question. You all have an opportunity, and then Graham will sift through the correct answers and select a winner, and somebody gets a 4-pack to the home finale against the Hurricanes. Here it is. Name me the NHL player that became a member at one point of the Ottawa Senators, played for the Senators, but also won back-to-back Stanley Cups, one with the Lightning, one with the Hurricanes. Give me the name of that player. 12-1200, standard text message rates apply. And you have until 1:40, Mark. So no matter how you're listening, smart speaker, iHeartRadio app, however you're streaming, maybe it's AM 1200 on the AM dial. Everybody gets a chance. You got until 1:40 to get your correct answers in. And there you go. I always say this, not too difficult. I don't try to make it very difficult in everybody. I want everybody to have a chance to win these tickets. So there you go. 4-pack on the line. There is your trivia question.
I've got it.
You know this one?
Yeah, Sorry, I was just trying to think of a way to give it to tell
don't
you.
Don't give it.
Yeah. What? So,
how about you be quiet? How about that?
That's what I'm going to do. Sometimes silence is golden, even on the radio.
Okay.
But yes, I have it, and I'll prove it to you by actually. Well, I guess.
I sent it to you as well on text, just in case. But it sounds like you know.
Oh, right. You just didn't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see what I got here.
All right. That's who you were thinking about.
Yes, I got it. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
Okay. There we go. Let's kind of go back in time here because we're running out of show. People are tuning in. Hey, what happened at the morning skate? What's going on for tonight's game? Well, we anticipate Matt Sogard's going to start in goal. He was in the starter's end. The coach, as he usually does, did not say so after the skate, but that's what we saw at the morning skate. So I would anticipate Matt Sogard starting in goal for the Ottawa Senators tonight. I would also anticipate, we were told as much from the GM who also spoke, that just because Jacob Chychrun did not take the morning skate doesn't mean he won't play tonight. He will play tonight. He just had an appointment today. this morning. They conflicted with the skate. He's fine. He's going to play. And this is the interesting little nugget as well that the coach offered up. He's going to play. And Graham, it sounds like he's going to play with Thomas Chabot a fair amount tonight. Maybe the whole game. I don't know. But DJ Smith said they're going to do that quite a bit with Chabot and Chychrun. And we just spoke to Dean Brown and asked him about his thoughts on who settles in as a righty playing the right side kind of full-time. And I guess that could be some sort of a web poll question kind of a deal. Not for today, but who do you think settles in as the right shot guy of the definite top four lefties the organization now has?
Man, I think...
in time for next season, right? Like, is it going to be Chychrun? Is it going to be Chabot? Is it going to be Sanderson?
I don't think it's going to be Chabot. I think he's easily number third on my list. Or number three on my list. To start next year, I'm going to go Chychrun. I think ultimately it could be Sanderson.
Maybe, eh? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just happy we have this problem to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. If you would have asked me this, I don't know. If Thomas Chabot can play the right side, I wouldn't rule that out either. Like, I'm just trying to think about how it could all play out. To your point, it's nice for, you know, us to have this conversation, fans have this conversation, the coaching staff talk about it internally as well, so does Pierre Dorion. And it's nice to talk about the blue line in a first world problem kind of way, potentially, rather than how they're going to fill some holes. Now it's just about how will the pieces fit. And it's twofold, right? It's the emergence of Sanderson as a bona fide becoming a true one in the league, and he's a one on this team this season, the way he's played. So that's happening. And the acquisition of Chychrun. Like, what a different dynamic. And if you want to go even a bit further back, Zub was found money. You signed him out of the KHL. All it cost you was, you know, winning the negotiation, winning the sell to get him to sign with Ottawa because many other teams had interest. So you've gone from Chabot and what is this going to look like to now. It's like, all right, how is it going to configure into that top four? And the other piece of news from this morning, in case people have missed, and I doubt you have if you're a Sens fan, you usually dialed into these things, Tyler Cleven is signed. So if you had any doubt whatsoever, no doubt, it's done. Tyler Cleven has signed his three-year entry-level contract. His NCAA career is over after three seasons at UND. He is en route. He will join the team tomorrow. And I would, if the team practices before going to Jersey tomorrow, they've already had an off day this week. I think they will. I can't say for absolute certain yet. Guess we'll find out for sure after the game tonight. Should be on a practice ice with his new teammates tomorrow. And then it becomes how quickly he gets into the lineup. At this stage, Graham, I know if you're the coaching staff and you're the play, nobody's given up hope in the playoffs yet, but it's a massive math. We all know the math. The math is not good. Would that deter you still, though, the fact that you're mathematically still in it from putting Cleven into the lineup?
No.
Should it deter the organization?
No. And I think you listen to the tone of Pierre Dorion when speaking today, right? Like he said, we all know what our chances are. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't remember the exact quote. But the way he was speaking, they know they need to win every game the rest of the way. And they know that they have a difficult schedule. Obviously, it's still that's what you're playing for. If you're a player, you take it every shift and game at a time and don't worry about anything else. But I think he all but said we're going to see Cleven. And I think the only thing it might impact is if we see him in the next game or two. And which I don't think anyways, because you want to get a couple of skates under his belt there. But at that point, maybe if it ends up being three or four games down the road, there's a loss in there, and then really your chances are almost 0%, according to the math. So, yeah, no, I think we're going to see him.
I guess if he doesn't play in one of the next two games after tonight, a nice little spot in the schedule would be next Thursday when you think about it, Graham. So you got the Lightning tonight. You're at the Devils Saturday. You're home to the Panthers Monday. And then you got your last extra day break the rest of the season between games. And you're home to the Flyers. So that's going to be some practice time as well. So maybe that would be the, that might be the game. And also, that, just to let people know, that's also the night of the annual Sens Foundation Telethon. The Flyers game next Thursday, a week from tonight. If you're looking at a game, I don't know, maybe the smart money's on the Flyers game. Just because it gives them a chance to settle in, be here for almost a week and practice with the team multiple times. And settle in. So we'll see. But the good news is he signed. Burns year one just by signing because he's 21 years old. So he's got 2 years really left on his entry-level contract starting for next season. Okay, there's your notes on the Sens. As they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. And if you're coming to the game, you'll notice that Nick Paul is in the Lightning lineup, as he usually always is, unless he's injured. And this is his first foray back to Ottawa to play against his old team. So I would expect some sort of a tribute to Nick Paul, and he should get a nice ovation from the crowd in attendance here tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back with one final segment. Hand it off to Lee, to CJ, to Maddie. The drive's coming up at 2. And then 5 o'clock, it's your pregame show. 7 o'clock, face-off, Sens and Lightning on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, winding things down here. This is wind down tunes, Graham. There we go. 151.
I came close to singing that one for you. It was close. It was close. I'm in a good mood, Lloyd.
You've played a lot of like karaoke type songs today. You know, you're gonna be singing in your car later, aren't you?
No, because I'm gonna be listening to two of my favorites, Lee and CJ, on the drive home. Okay. And I'm gonna be at the rink. You know what? After post game. I'll blast some good jams on the way home from Canadian Tire Center tonight.
Okay, so when you're listening on the way home, you're listening to Lee and CJ. You're going to be listening. Well, CJ.
No, it's going
to
be me on the. Oh, you mean? Yeah. Sorry, on the way
today.
Home right now. Yeah.
Right now. You know, rather than listen to, you know, AJ will talk about what he likes to eat recently. and CJ will be about the craft beer. See, you get to mix it up. It's good. It's all good.
Hey, you know what? CJ has been very kind. Whenever he's discussing the beer he has tasted and sampled lately, he usually provides some as well. So
yes, he does.
I have no complaints there.
Okay. We got a winner. Why don't you take it away, Graham Creech, with our winner. Somebody who's won the 4 tickets to go see the Hurricanes for the last home game of the season.
Yeah, so it looks like the winner who knew it was Corey Stillman is Corey the Sauce Man.
We're going to get our drinks on, we're going to party and get crunk and rock out, dude.
Dear Constantine.
Oh, here comes the old
I don't need
Mondays with Mendez.
I have trouble.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
All right, that's it.
That's it. I love how you always have to tell me.
I'm sorry.
Because I never know.
I don't even know why this became a thing. I think it's because I never produced for like a year. And then I'm like, I miss these old drops. And then I just kind of, whenever I'm with you, I'm like, I need to fire all these drops when we announce our prize winner. Yeah.
You don't have many opportunities anymore. I got to make sure I empty the clip. I got to get them all in there. That's good. And yeah, we're almost within a week here of Sunday.